Let's open up our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We will consider this morning, verse 20 of that chapter. Colossians chapter 3, this is the word of God. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So far we read God's word. The text is verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the main message of Colossians is the glory of Christ as the head of the church. The glory of Christ as the head of the church. When you come to chapter 3 is the practical application that flows out of that main message of the book. You have different spheres of life here. Recently you heard from an area pastor a couple of sermons on a couple of those spheres. Wives toward their husbands, and then husbands toward their wives. So you have marriage. But also this sphere of life, this practical application that flows out of that main message of the book, namely relationship of children toward their parents, and therefore an appropriate sermon on the occasion of baptism. This chapter has everything to do with living as servants of that exalted Christ. That's what it's all about. A couple of brief comments on the text before we delve into it. And the first comment is that children's obedience to parents is the calling that children have toward their parents. That main calling. It's not that parents are as friendly as possible with their sons and daughters. It's not even, first of all, that children love their parents. But this is primary. This is main. Children, obey your parents. If you look at the scriptural data on this, look at different passages that speak of children and their parents, that's what jumps out. Obedience. One other comment about the text, and that is authority in the home is primary. It's foundational. When you look at a text like this in Colossians 3, and when you look at other verses similar to it, why is it that when it comes to children obeying those in authority over them, why is it always the parents that are mentioned? Why not teachers or office bearers? Why is it normally the parents? Because authority in the home is foundational and basic. Foundational for authority everywhere else and children's obedience to authority everywhere else. That's why it's never wise for a parent always to be pointing the finger at the school, for example. When there's a problem with disobedience, when there's an authority issue, so quickly that finger comes out, well, it must be the teachers. It must be something that the school is doing. Something's going wrong over there. Parents, we do well to ask of ourselves in the home first, which is basic. Are we teaching our children authority here at home? Are we teaching our children what obedience looks like here? Children, obey your parents. The home is foundational. Let's look at this under the theme, children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. 3 points. The command, first of all. Second, the scope. And third, the reason. The command, the scope, and the reason. There is here, as you can easily tell, a relationship. The parent-child relationship. The relationship is easy. Parents, father and mother, have authority, and they are above those children in authority. And then the other aspect of the relationship is the children who are under that authority of their parents and are called to obey them. We begin by looking at that first aspect of the parent-child relationship, namely that the parents have authority. And you understand that underlies what we have here in the text. And you can't hear about, talk about authority without beginning with God Himself, who has all authority. He's the Creator of heaven and earth. He's the sustainer of all things. No one has given and nothing has given God His authority. He has it of Himself. And that authority that God has over all things is His right to rule. That's what authority is, His right to rule over everything. That authority God has given to Jesus Christ. God rules through Christ. That crucified, risen, exalted Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God the Father. God has given to Him authority over all things, which is to say Jesus Christ has the right to rule. That's at least hinted at when you look at the end of the text and it speaks of the Lord there, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord who has this rule over everything. The God of all authority, given authority to the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, God gives or bestows authority upon certain people on this earth. Like police officers and government officials and office bearers. And some of them upon whom God has bestowed authority through Jesus Christ is parents. Children, obey your parents in all things. Father and mother have the right to rule over children, and they do rule. Parents, plural, says the verse. Sometimes we children, I'm going to be addressing you a lot this morning, and young people too. Sometimes we as children and young people think that yes, Dad has authority. He has the right to rule, and he's not home a whole lot. And so when he comes home, I know I better not misbehave and I better not talk back to him. I'm not as familiar with what he might do. But Mom, well, that's a different story. I'm with her all the time. I'm rather familiar with her. And if Mom says something, well, it can be two or three times before I listen to that. We can view Mother differently than Father. The Word of God says God has bestowed the right to rule not only upon your dad, but upon your mom too. Parents have authority. What an important word. That whole idea of the right to rule that parents have over children. Look at our world. Our world that just despises authority. Almost pretends, the youth do, that it's not even there. Well, that's just a culturally relative thing. They may have believed some of these things back then, but not today. There's so much disrespect. And it's not just toward parents, but teachers and so on. So much disrespect and rebellion. What feeds all of this is this whole idea of entitlement today that, well, I deserve these things from my parents and they better do what I want them to do, else I'm not going to be happy about it. This whole entitlement idea. You must know, youth, that the world is shooting its cannonballs of disrespect and rebellion and encouraging you in that path. It's all over. How important this word on authority is, not just because we know it's out there and the influences within, but we know, don't we, children and young people, how we often can think about authority. The wrong ideas that we can have. Like this, that we would think authority is how strong our father is, how many muscles he has. big man, strong man, forceful in the way he talks, well then he must have authority. That's not authority. When it comes to mom, how strong is her voice? How persistent is she? And if her voice is strong enough and loud enough, and if she's persistent enough, then she has some authority that I'm going to be obedient to. That's not authority. And this one, especially for the teenagers, how intelligent my parents are. I'm going to go round and around with them in argumentation. And if my parents are up to date enough and they're intelligent enough that they can win this argument with me, well, then I suppose I can submit to them and they have some authority over me. That's not authority. Authority is the God-given right to rule over you. And it has nothing to do with those other things. There's one side of the relationship. Fathers and mothers have authority. The other side of the relationship, which is on the foreground in the text, is that children are under father and mother and are called to obey those who are in authority above them. It says, children, obey your parents in all things. Obedience begins with a recognition. The recognition that father and mother are above me and I am below them. And you hear right away that this is not, obedience is not merely outward. What you do, it is that, and we'll get to that. But it's very much something that's inward. It is an attitude. This recognition, not only that father and mother are above me and I am below their authority, but the deeper recognition that God has, through Christ, bestowed that right to rule over me to them. You see, it's very deep. It's that recognition. Not a recognition that you have, children and young people, of yourselves, but you have been given to know these things by that crucified, risen, ascended Lord Jesus Christ who works in you. That recognition. That's where obedience begins. But as far as obedience itself, that word obedience is literally this: to hear under. To hear under. Obedience is, in the first place, to hear father and mother. You've heard that phrase, haven't you? That phrase that's used in the world. You have two ears, but only one mouth. And there's something to that. That may be a worldly phrase, but there's something to that from the text here. Obedience is hearing with these ears that we have in our head. Parents have a lot of things to say. They have a lot of requirements, like, here's your coat that you threw on the ground. You have to pick up your coat and hang it up. Or something a little more serious. We've noticed that you've been being unkind to your siblings as of late. You need to be more kind to them. Parents say these things, and obedience is that you as children and young people hear these things that they say with your ears. Which means that disobedience is not hearing. For little children, sometimes that looks like this, that you plug your ears, not going to listen to dad and mom. When you get a little bit older, perhaps it's the earbuds, the earphones, and always listening to some kind of music or something, and you see their mouth moving, but, well, I'm not really going to listen to them, not hearing them. And then when you get a little bit older, especially to the teenage years, not listening, that disobedience might manifest itself this way, that they're talking, but you're not hearing them because you're talking over them and you're trying to overpower them and argue. That again is disobedience, not hearing. Obedience, not just listening physically with these two ears, but a certain kind of listening, a careful kind. Again, out of the recognition, these have been put here. These two people I have standing right before me in this room have been put there by God Himself through Christ, and they have the right to rule over me. And when I listen to them, I carefully weigh their words. They're weighty to me because God has put them there. Obedience is, in the first place, hearing. Obedience is, in the second place, doing. You've heard what they had to say. Pick up your coat. Be more kind to your siblings. And now what you have heard, you actually do. You carry it out. Take that coat. You pick it up cheerfully, immediately, without having to be told a second time, or you're kinder to your siblings. Obedience is that cheerful, willing, quick doing. You recognize that when it comes to disobedience here, disobedience would mean not doing what you've heard. Sometimes that manifests itself in this way, that you just don't do it. Outright refusal. And sometimes that happens, doesn't it? At other times, it's just a slowness to obey. Well, Mom said it 2, 3, 4 times. I know that when she gets the fifth time, she's not very happy, so I better hop to it now. Slowness to obey is not obedience at all. Or doing it. Yes, I'll do it, and I'll even do it the first time I'm told. But I'm not going to be happy about it. Grumbling is not obedience at all. Obedience is hearing what they say and doing it. This is people of God. And this is, youth of the congregation, a command. Children, obey your parents. And obey your parents in all things. This is not, don't we always need to hear this? This isn't just your parents' personal opinion. It goes easier for them in their life if you obey. This is not the personal opinion of Reverend Barnhill, and you might say, well, he's a parent too, so of course he would say those things. And this isn't merely a suggestion, but a command which carries behind it the weight of God's authority itself. Here's God's word, and it comes with all this forth. Children, obey your parents. Obey. I ask you, even you little children, are you listening and cheerfully, quickly, and willingly doing what your parents require of you? How did it go, children? Young people too. How did it go this morning? No one would be able to tell it when you come to church. But how did it go this morning with your parents and this past week? The command is, obey. Don't forget what you are, children and young people. Read Colossians 3, verse 1. When you hear this command, don't forget what you are. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You are risen with Christ. That's what you are. And there's something very tremendous there. By the power of Christ's resurrection, you are raised to a new life. And there has been nothing less for you than a spiritual resurrection. A spiritual resurrection. By the power of Christ's resurrection, you're raised to a new life. You have been regenerated by the Spirit of Christ, and you partake of the life of Christ. And you know what that life is? It's resurrection life. The life of heaven. By the power of that Spirit of Jesus Christ working in you, you seek those things which are above. That's the context. That's verse 1. You seek those things that are above. Verses 9 and 10 are true of you. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Don't you see? You're risen with Christ. You seek the things that are above. And for you children and young people, life looks so different for you. Obviously, in all the departments of your life, but also in this one department of obedience to your parents, been raised with Christ, seek the things above, and that life looks like this, obeying quickly, cheerfully, willingly, father and mother. That's what you are. Raised with Christ, risen with Christ. Don't forget either that this is an obedience that is in the Lord. Now that doesn't come out so clearly in the English. Right there at the end of the verse, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. That's really not the idea there, but it's in the Lord. This obedience, and a little bit later we'll hear this obedience in all things, is in the Lord, not apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. You obey your parents, but it's not merely to make them happy. And this obedience is not just about making your life easier. Well, if I obey Dad and Mom, it just goes easier with me. And it's certainly not the kind of obedience with grumbling and complaining. When you speak of obedience that way, just make Mom and Dad happy, just make life easier for me, that looks really no different than the world, does it? Even the world has that kind of outward sham obedience. For you children, you might say this is a distinctively Christian obedience. Obeying in all things in the Lord. In everything you do, your eyes are fastened on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're always looking at Him. Your thoughts are swirling all about the Lord Christ. You're always conscious of Him. Your Lord, your Master, and we'll come back to this, who has redeemed you, He's Lord. Your obedience is thankful service to Him in the Lord. This command, this obedience, is wide in scope. Children, obey your parents in all things. The scope of this obedience is indicated in a couple of ways. The way that jumps out to you probably is obey them in all things, which is to say, in everything that they require of you, everything that they say to you, listen to that and do that in all things. But the scope of that obedience is indicated too in that little word obey, and that could literally be read this way, children, be obeying. This is a constant activity that never stops. Be obeying your parents. If you were to sum it up then, the scope of this obedience is hear them and do all things that they require of you and do them all the time. All the time. There is a very important qualification that must be made here. Children and young people, you are not to obey your parents when they require of you to do something sinful. Does that mean, even when your parents ask you to do something sinful, does that mean you may rebel? No. Never. Even when they ask us to do something sinful, may we rebel in the sense of rising up against them. But it's quite another thing to say that we may and we must disobey in that kind of instance. And that's something even that the text teaches in a certain way. If you read the whole verse together, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing. Now put it the other way around. If children are to obey their parents when their parents ask them to do something sinful, would that be well-pleasing to the Lord? And the answer is, of course, no. Here we have an exception, an important qualification. This is not far removed. Sometimes parents ask their children to do something that's not right. Fifth commandment. Oh, we don't really care for that teacher at school. Why don't you? We don't really care how you talk to him. I guess just try to be a little bit respectful. Sixth commandment. That person's picking on you? Well, you know how we used to do it in the old days? We just got revenge. You go and get revenge on that person. Seventh commandment. And here we come to a rather dark area. Sometimes father or mother requires something impure of their child. Sometimes when it comes to all the commandments, when a parent requires something that's sinful of their own son or daughter, if it is extreme enough, sometimes the child must ask for help from a trusted person. But there is that important qualification, not obedience, when something sinful is required. Nevertheless, don't let that qualification water down the vividness of the text. Children, obey your parents in all things. There's something very strong there. The Holy Spirit expresses it so pointedly and strongly because we know as children that we are sinful, that we will try to find any loophole that we can to disobey and not obey dad and mom, especially in the circumstances in which it is difficult to obey. In all things, says the Word of God. Let me mention three scenarios in which obedience of children is difficult toward their parents, but in which they must yet obey in all things. Scenario number one, when parents require of children something that is disagreeable to the children. Come home from school. Please get off the computer. You've been on it for an hour. Please stop listening to that music, whatever it may be. Now it's time to do homework. Well, I don't want to, says the child. That's not agreeable to what I want to do. Just let me be on it for another half hour. And there's perhaps arguing that follows. In that kind of instance, and how many times isn't it, children and young people, that that happens, something that dad and mom require, we don't really like. Also in those instances, in all things, obey. Scenario number two. When father and mother require something that's inconsistent with their own lives. Parents have weaknesses. Parents have sins. What do those two verses in Colossians 3 say about wives? Submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And then verse 19, husbands, love your wives. And so mother comes up to daughter and says, I think we have a little bit of a respect problem with dad and mom. I want to address that with you. And daughter shoots back, well, mom, I don't always see you submitting to dad like you should be. Colossians 3. She detects some inconsistency. Father sits down his son. Son, you have not been showing love in this family like you ought to be. And son retorts, but dad, Colossians 3, I don't always see you loving mom either like you should be. He detects some inconsistency. Children, your parents have sins and weaknesses just like you do. And what I'm saying this morning does not at all excuse or make light of those sins and weaknesses as they may be there. Not that. But it is to say that when your parents require of you something that you chafe under because you see something in their own life, even in those things you must obey in all things. And might I add too, encourage your parents. Pray for them silently and in front of them. Scenario number 3. When parents do not exercise their authority always lovingly like they should. Father can be gruff. He can be harsh, especially if he's had a bad day. Mother, sometimes she can just say all kinds of things and she can be a little bit sharp with what she says. And it seems like she has demand upon demand upon demand. When mother is overbearing, and father is somewhat harsh. And again, that's not to minimize that. Father and mother, confess their sins too and go to the foot of the cross. But it is to say also in those things, in all things, obey. Here's the reason. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing. Children obey father and mother. They obey in all things, as we just heard, that wideness of scope. And in obedience, don't forget, go to the end of verse, which is in the Lord, distinctively Christian, all of this. For this is well-pleasing. And I'd like you to notice what the reason is not. It does not say, children, obey your parents in all things, for you'll be able to manipulate parents for certain advantage, for you'll be able to escape consequences, for you'll look better than your siblings, or for you'll earn something with God. All those things are absolutely not reasons. But it says, for this is well-pleasing. That's it. Obedience to God's commandments is pleasing and implied as to the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about it. Particularly, obedience in the Lord toward parents is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has given authority to Christ and bestowed authority upon parents through Him, the Lord Jesus is pleased when children obey that authority that He has placed above them. Very pleased. Well pleased. And that ought to be your desire too, youth. In all the parts of your life, to be well-pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord.
Did you read that at the end of the verse? He's Lord. He has redeemed you from all your sins with His precious blood. And I want you to listen very carefully, children. He's not redeemed you with gold and silver, but with His precious blood. He came under the tempest of God's wrath for you. He went all the way to that tree for you. And He shed His blood. He gave His life. That is an enormous price that He paid for your redemption. Enormous price. Every drop of that blood that trickled out of His wounds and that stained that cross upon which He hung, every drop of that blood was out of His intense love for you. He's redeemed you. And He has delivered you from all the power of the devil. From that enslavement and that dominion and that darkness of the prince of darkness. He's delivered you powerfully from that. No longer in bondage, no longer enslaved, no longer in that darkness of the prince of darkness. Christ has delivered you. And He has made you His own property. He's Lord. Your master. Now here's the perspective of your whole life, but your life at home. You see your mother and your father. You say, I want to serve my risen, ascended Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to serve Him in gratitude, my Redeemer and the one who lovingly and caringly owns me. To be well pleasing to Him every day is the heartbeat of your thankful life. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this word. We pray that Thou wilt powerfully continue to work in the children and the young people of this church this heartfelt obedience in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.